For an illustration, I'd like to paraphrase a few lines from the movie A Man for All Seasons. Sir Thomas More was the man who opposed King Henry VIII in his desire to divorce his wife and marry Anne Boleyn. For various reasons, it violated More's conscience, and he would not take a particular oath dealing with loyalty to the king and division from the Catholic Church. Because he was a man of such honesty and integrity, his influence, even in silence, assisted in disrupting things in the British Empire. As Cromwell, the king's minister, put it, "His silence thundered all up and down Europe." Because people knew he was honest, and he would not subscribe to an oath contrary to his conscience. He went through a process of gradually losing everything. He lost his station, his position, his wealth. He lost his physical comforts. He was imprisoned in the Tower of London. Cromwell eventually took away his reading materials. His captors used every opportunity to tempt him and to induce him to give in and to sign the oath to the king. He would not do it. He maintained silence. While he was imprisoned in the Tower of London, his enemy's final strategy was to use his family to persuade him to give in. They brought to him his wife and daughter. His wife pleaded, "Oh, you've got to give in. I'm afraid that if they'll take your life, I'll hate you for it." He needed the sustaining influence of his wife. Without it, he wasn't sure he had the power and courage to go forward. He pleaded with her, "You can't do this. You must understand. I dread to think what they might do to me. But I dread even more what might happen inside to me if I do it." When his wife knew he meant it and that he was deeply committed to the truth within, she embraced him and said, "You are the greatest man I ever have known or ever will know." Eventually, he was condemned to die. At the chopping block, he looked right at the anxious, hesitating executioner and said, "Do not begrudge your office. You only send me to God." His total commitment and faith resided in the unseen God. The other fascinating character in the movie was Richard Rich. He gained many kingdoms and eventually also became Chancellor of England. But at what a price! He sold his soul. He would lie and cheat, violate confidences, and make and break oaths for the right bribe. Here are the two characters: Sir Thomas More, who became a man for all seasons. In season or out of season, he was true to the source of his life, to God. And Richard Rich, who, like the chameleon that changes colors to blend into its environment, was buffeted constantly in his personal life. He would change with the seasons or with the force of another's personality or the pressure of the circumstance, and he was untrue to God, but true to his God, which was the fickle, changing, uncertain world, the source of his buffeting. That became the nature of his character. Thomas More won, and Richard Rich lost their public battles privately. One was a totally buffeted life, and the other a life anchored and true and powerful and very, very influential. Someone inquired of a Hindu who had a great serenity and peace about him, no matter what pressures were put upon him, "How do you maintain that serenity and peace?" His answer, "I never leave my place of meditation." Joseph Smith had his Sacred Grove experience, and perhaps the greatest revelation or theophany ever given to man came there. The Father and the Son appeared, yet even he, the prophet of this dispensation, was chastened by the Lord for yielding at various times to the pressures, to the persuasions of men. Once after chastening him, the Lord said, "Behold, thou art Joseph, and thou wast chosen to do the work of the Lord." In a sense, he was told, "Joseph, never leave your sacred grove." I suggest that every day of our lives, you and I can go to our places of prayerful study and meditation where we can live out the events that will transpire that day. Rely on true principles and God's way to master those issues that seem to dominate our life and rededicate and commit ourselves to the source of light to which God has called us, to Jesus Christ. God has ordained certain places and times for private victories: the private prayer, the sacrament, the temple, honest moments of meditation, fasting, scripture reading. We can prayerfully use our scriptures almost like our own Urim and Thummim to translate our lives, to help translate the will of God for us today. I believe that the prayerful, meditative study of the scriptures is the single most important discipline of the day and is the basis for winning such private victories we've been speaking about. Try it. Do it for 30 days. Don't judge it the first week. Judge it after a full month. Take charge of those procrastinating and undisciplined tendencies, those inclination toward weaknesses. Pay the price. Do this thing in private. You will find that it's difficult, a very difficult thing, but take the time to do it. And little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, you will begin to experience the gradual serenity and power that will come into your life and give you the foundation of winning many, many public victories.